Why don't you cry? Calvin asked gently. You're just crazy about your father, aren't you? Go ahead and cry. It'll do you good. Meg's voice came out trembling over tears. I cry much too much. I should be like Mother. I should be able to control myself. Your mother's a completely different person, and she's a lot older than you are. I wish I were a different person, Meg said shakily. I hate myself. Calvin reached over and took off her glasses. Then he pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket and wiped her tears. This gesture of tenderness undid her completely, and she put her head down on her knees and sobbed. Calvin sat quietly beside her, every once in a while patting her head. I'm sorry, she sobbed finally. I'm terribly sorry. Now you'll hate me. Oh, Meg, you are a moron, Calvin said. Don't you know you're the nicest thing that's happened to me in a long time? Meg raised her head, and moonlight shone on her tear-stained face. Without the glasses, her eyes were unexpectedly beautiful. If Charles Wallace is a sport, I think I'm a biological mistake. Moonlight flashed against her braces as she spoke. Now she was waiting to be contradicted. But Calvin said, Do you know that this is the first time I've seen you without your glasses? I'm blind as a bat without them. I'm nearsighted like Father. Well, you know what? You got dreamboat eyes, Calvin said. Listen, you go right on wearing your glasses. I don't think I want anybody else to see what gorgeous eyes you have. Meg smiled with pleasure. She could feel herself blushing, and she wondered if the blush would be visible in the moonlight. Okay, hold it, you two, came a voice out of the shadows. Charles Wallace stepped into the moonlight. I wasn't spying on you, he said quickly, and I hate to break things up, but this is it, kids, this is it. His voice quivered with excitement. This is what? Calvin asked. We're going. Going? Where? Meg reached out and instinctively grabbed for Calvin's hand. I don't know exactly, Charles Wallace said, but I think it's to find Father. Suddenly, two eyes seemed to spring at them out of the darkness. It was the moonlight striking on Mrs. Hu's glasses. She was standing next to Charles Wallace, and how she had managed to appear, for a moment ago there had been nothing but flickering shadows in the moonlight, Meg had no idea. She heard a sound behind her and turned around. There was Mrs. Watsit scrambling over the wall. My, but I wish there were no wind, Mrs. Watsit said plaintively. It's so difficult with all these clothes. She wore her outfit of the night before, rubber boots and all, with the addition of one of Mrs. Buncombe's sheets, which she had draped over her. As she slid off the wall, the sheet caught in a low branch and came off. The felt hat slipped over both eyes, and another branch plucked at the pink stole. Oh, dear, she sighed. I shall never learn to manage. Mrs. Hu wafted over to her, tiny feet scarcely seeming to touch the ground, the lenses of her glasses glittering. Come te picciol fallo amaro morso. Dante, what grievous pain a little fault doth give thee. With a claw-like hand, she pushed the hat up on Mrs. Watsit's forehead, untangled the stole from the tree, and with a deft gesture took the sheet and folded it. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Watsit said. You're so clever.
Un asno viejo sabe más que un potro, eh, Perez?
An old ass knows more than a young colt.
Just because you're a paltry few billion years, Mrs. Watsit was starting indignantly, when a sharp, strange voice cut in.
All right, girls. This is no time for bickering.
It's Mrs. Witch, Charles Wallace said. There was a faint gust of wind, the leaves shivered in it, the patterns of moonlight shifted, and in a circle of silver something shimmered, quivered, and the voice said,
I do not think I will materialize completely. I find it very tiring, and we have much to do.